you found that American publishers were not interested in books that did not concern themselves with racial hurt. And you have been very successful here in this country. A film named Cotton Comes to Harlem was based on one of your books. And that's a series of books. It's The Gravedigger Ed Jones, Coffin Ed Jones, and Gravedigger Johnson series.
Jones and a Johnson.
Jones and a Johnson. And they were, I want to tell everybody that Sister Nikki, my love, is sitting here with us. She's going to be talking with Chester. And I've found that in some research that those books were first published in France. And do you have any comments to make on that?
Well, it was published in France because at that time, American publishers were not interested in black detectives in the detective story fiction. That there were no publishers who were willing to publish those in the English language, so the French published them and I was glad of it.
But you were doing a little something else in that, Chester. Can you describe them just simply as a detective story? Don't you think they went to the core of some things that are very disturbing in our culture?
I never thought of them as detective stories. The detective story is a form, and I use the form, but I always thought of them as domestic stories because crime is part of the domestic life of the black ghetto. Crime is much a part of the life of black experience, say eating and sleeping. So I thought, always have thought of these books as books about domestic life in the ghetto.
I see. I think I should have said, it's such a privilege to have you here with us in Club Soul, and I should welcome you home. You've only been here for a few days, you're living abroad now. Which is something I'd like to say that it is really kind of sad that so many of our writers, our brilliant writers, are being exiled or are exiled and must live abroad. How do you feel about your living abroad? Is it more comfortable for you?
Well, no. It would be far more comfortable to live in the States because materially, the black American lives best in the United States than anywhere else in the world. But well, spiritually, from the point of view of state of mind and the inequalities and so forth, make it impossible for me to live here. So I live in countries where the material benefits are not equal to what they would be here. But then I feel more of a man.
Do you think you would ever return to the United States?
Well,
today?
I don't think so.
I hope that while you're here that you will find a lot of positive changes in the communities and in the society you left. And I hope that you might write or continue, because The Quality of Hurt, which is your latest autobiography, will go on, and you'll have to write something to carry it on. And I think Nikki wants to jump in. You know, Nikki loves to talk. Come on, Nikki.
Now, I realize I was probably leaving you stranded. I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I've loved Chester Himes so long, and I just met him, you know, a few hours ago. Yeah. And I'm surrounded by my six favorite men, the Dells and Chester Himes.
Wait a minute.
I'm used to your old hat. Okay. Your despair that he was talking about.
Okay. I'll get you. Yeah.
But, in talking, you did Blind Man with a Pistol, which Jimmy Baldwin and I discussed on another show we did, but we considered it allegorical. And when I read Blind Man with a Pistol, I told a lady sitting over here, Barbara, that all I could see for you to write next was your autobiography.
Yes.
I just couldn't see anything else.
Blind Man with a Pistol wound up the detective story, the domestic story. They were finished with Blind Man with a Pistol, so I intended to finish them with this story. It was allegorical, it's quite true. And it, not that it has left me with a lack of things to write about. I can write forever about my autobiography. But which I will continue to write volumes as they come to mind, because my European experiences have not been plumbed, have not been touched, as a matter of fact, in this book. this is just an introduction. Then my life matured, and my writing also reached its maturity in Europe. So I still have lots and lots to write about, and I might even write some novels again.
Be fantastic.
Chester, how many books have you written altogether?
Well, I think that I have published 17.
17.
Yeah, well, was
quite
that
a record.
Quantity, perhaps 18. But one was published only in France, and 17 have been published here in the States, I think.
You've had quite a success in Europe. Also, Melvin Van Peebles wrote the text for a kind of comic strip that was serialized in a magazine.
Yes, well...
You worked with Melvin in Europe.
Yeah, I knew Melvin very well indeed. Melvin and I were good friends, are good friends. When I wrote, there is a detective story collection in France published by the largest publisher in France, Gallimard Publishers, a detective story series called La Série Noire, the Black Series. This is a very popular series. And they had several outstanding hits. And at the time that I began writing for them, the series needed something new. They needed the, you know, no one had ever, detective stories or black detectives used black locale. And the French people are always interested in strange scenes and strange customs. And so the editor of this series suggested that I write some detective stories with a Harlem background using a black detective. But he had in mind that I use a black private eye. But from my experiences in Los Angeles, I remember vividly two black detectives in the ghetto that were the prototypes for these two detectives. So I thought that they would fit into ghetto life much better than if I made a private eye. And furthermore, I could see them. I could visualize them in the ghetto. So writing the detective stories with the prototypes of these two detectives became quite easy for me. And with my first detective story, I won a Grand Prix Policier in Paris, and it became a bestseller with type. And
it's not too bad for an ex-convict. Convict.
Yeah, that's not good.
But Chester, when and why? You said a fighter must fight, and usually fighters, it is decided for them that they will fight. And you said a writer must write, but you have to decide to write. And when and why did you decide to use writing as your means of communicating with them?
Well, I became a writer when I was in prison for something to do. When I went to prison, I was an invalid. I was drawing compensation from the Ohio State Industrial Commission for total disability. So I could not be forced to work. So I didn't do anything. I just passed the time away. Most of the time I spent in cripple companies. So to do something, to occupy my mind, I bought a typewriter and turned myself to type, and then I began writing short stories. Writing short stories for the black press in the beginning, for papers like the Atlanta Daily World, Chicago Defender, Pittsburgh Courier, the Abbott's Monthly, the Bronze Man, various black magazines. And later on, I began writing for Esquire National Magazine, and it was the last magazine that I wrote for in prison. So.
Do you find that you have had a difficulty in being accepted by blacks through, say, some other black being employed to disagree with what you've written or give you negative reviews about it?
Well, yes, I think so. But you see, that doesn't bother me because I realize that the white community in America has always used divisive tactics and divide and conquer against the black people. So they're doing it now, today, you know. They're trying to turn the black woman against black men, you know, in various ways. But I understand that this is one of the weapons that the white community will use. So when they attack various figures that they think are annoying by getting black people to do so, I'm not surprised. I expect this.
I see. Nikki, what you thinking about?
Quality of hurt, I guess. I was thinking about Lonely Crusade, which is a book that just recently came back, and for the people, you probably haven't seen it, which is a book that I think it's safe to say, every black publication came out against.
Yes.
Which is a precious, beautiful, truthful book, where you correctly identify that black people are not about equality, but superiority, and everybody had a fit. And I was just
well,
thinking about that.
You know, that always disturbed me, because I never did know what the black intellectuals had against Lonely Crusade. I understood what all the rest of the people did. But I, until today, I still don't know exactly, but I think that
it was a good book.
That I had the protagonist advocate that the black people should have special privileges. Instead of equality, they wanted more than equality. They wanted special privileges because they had so much to catch up. Boy, and I think that the black intellectuals thought that I was asking for pleading for things that they did not wish to plead for at that time. They thought I was going too far, you know.
Yeah. I thought Lee Gordon is a fantastically good character. The book is in paperback. As a matter of fact, all of Chester's books are. And, like, you should read them, every one of them.
Yeah.
When we were talking about prison, the book is called Cast the First Stone, which is everybody's off into prisons these days. You know, that's worth checking out. But I think that what disturbed him about Lee Gordon was that he did tell the truth in such simple... Lee Gordon is the protagonist.
Yeah.
In such a... I mean, anybody... How could you miss it? But you had, you know, one of our major black publications, which survives to this day, did an editorial on it. An editorial, he did. It's amazing what those people have
done. Well, I don't think Chester's here.
Well, I think that the...
I'm trying not to gossip.
I'm trying.
But I believe that the black intellectuals in the States have, and the publishers and the people have advanced in the attitudes.
Yes.
Well, I'm an optimist.
They love you. You're okay now.
All right, I'm an optimist. So you know, they have to advance. Everybody has to advance.
I think you might find that maybe if you talk with Nikki, she could run down that she's suffering some of the same kind of things. And I don't know how long it'll be before we exile her. And I hope she goes to the Ivory Coast and has a nice home so I can go and join her. But Chester Soule is deeply honored to have been able or to present you to our Soule audience. You're the Dean of American Black Writers. I don't know who is the eldest, you or Sterling Brown, but you certainly are the senior living black American writers. And we are...
American, may I? I mean, I hate to say it like that, but Chester is the senior American writer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And it has been an honor to be on this program. This is one of the highlights of my life, to be on this on a black television program before a black audience.
Wow.
Because this is the first experience that I've had. So thank you.
Oh, Chester, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. You got it. You got it. You
didn't know he could blush, did you?